And so, introduce our first speaker. Would you like to come on up, Debbie? And so, feel free to make yourself comfortable right back here. We can move this. Just relax, take it easy. You're going to do great.
You're going to stand by me, right? Is this on?
Hello.
Yep. Hi, I'm Debbie, and I'm from LACO, and that's Lisbon Area Christian Outreach, where we serve a lot of food lately. It is a nonprofit organization founded in 1895 from the efforts of several churches. It continues to respond by churches and by various donations located in Lisbon, Durham, and Bowdoin. LACO is all volunteers. There is nobody who gets paid at LACO, and we work very long hours. As I work 6 hours, more than 6 hours, 6 days a week. I only have one day off, and that's the day I do paperwork. I am the vice president, and I am also the director of LACO. I'm very busy, and without my husband's help, I wouldn't be making it. And LACO is supported by the town of you. I already said that. The pantry serves those who need an assistance in the battle of preventing hunger. We are not a grocery store. We are a supplement. We try to give them what they need a week to before they can get to the grocery stores. Before COVID, we were serving 432 people to 752. COVID hit, and boy, didn't that hit us. We're up to 2,145 to 2,625 a month. We had big changes with the help of everybody. We started working outside, needing additional food, masks, gloves, heaters, storage containers, tables, canopies, lights to keep my workers safe in the winter after 4. So we changed the time, which made it a lot easier. We work from 12 to 4 on Wednesdays, and on Saturdays we're 7 to 10. Thanks, Priscilla. And I think that about rounds it up. The women that and men that work there work very hard, and we can always use volunteers. I have to put that in. And I thank you for letting me talk a little bit about LACO. If anybody has any questions, I can answer a couple. Oh, yes, that's right, too. We had to close the clothing bank during COVID, and we just reopened it. But it's a little smaller, but we still have the clothes going in and out. That is open on Saturdays. And on Wednesdays, we bring half of the stuff outside, so we always are giving clothes out. And we did that during COVID, too. We brought out only coats, mittens, gloves, and hats. And we do the school bags. We do, in August, we're starting the school bags up, which we make sure. A lot of the churches give us stuff to put into it for the kids will have a good day. When they start school, we put food in it. And we also have a program called the birthday bags. If it's your birthday and you can't afford cakes and stuff like that, we also have that we give out to boys and girls, sometimes adults too. And then I'm thinking of the programs we do, but I think that we do everything there. And we're very busy all the time. Oh, and we do the fundraisers. We do the car show with you guys. We also do the Christmas fair. We do yard sales for the discretionary fund that I run. And that is to help people with oil, medicine, and things that they need. And we also have the food sale at Food City, and we do Chuck a Chicken at Moxie Day. We do Halloween. We do all the holidays. LACO's always running and running and running, and it don't stop. So there you go. That's all about LACO. Anything else you need to know, you just ask me. Yes? That is correct. Oh, he asked me that there's a no sign-in program, that we don't need to know who you are. We just want you to come. We want to serve you, and you just drive up, and we take care of you. Just last Wednesday, and this was a reminder, too, that we there also pray with the clients. They ask for our help in prayers. They ask for our help in everything. One lady come in just Wednesday, broke my heart. She come in and asked me if she could have food, and I said, well, we're open at noontime. Well, not knowing anything, it was 11, and she went outside, and she started crying. My husband said, what's the matter? And she goes, can I have some milk? And he said, yes, go in and talk to my wife. So she come in, and she told me, she just lost her son in suicide. Her husband left her, and she just cried. And we were there to help her get strong and help with prayers, and we all prayed together. And she left very happy, and we told her to come back again. So we do say a lot of prayers there to people that need us. And we give out Bibles. We give out our love and everything else there. We give our heart to LACO. Any other questions? Don't get me going. Priscilla will be yelling. You're 10 minutes up.
Thank you, Debbie, for everything you and your husband and all of the others volunteers that, and we have a few here that help. Now, Priscilla, who do we have next? Well, here's the lady whose name I forgot last week because it's made of wood. Here we go, Priscilla. You can do it.
I think you all know who I am, if Stan doesn't. Though. I'm going to speak today a little bit about Samaritan's Purse. I imagine you all know that it's run by Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. The Shiloh Missions Committee has supported them for many, many years as they work worldwide to help others in all the world, in the name of Jesus. These are some of the things they do. Operation Christmas Child, I think we're all familiar with the shoe boxes that travel all over the world, and they are accompanied by a lesson plan called The Greatest Journey that teaches the children about Jesus, and that has far-reaching whole villages have come through because of children that have saved their parents, and then that spreads the word about Jesus. In Iraq, they have done a family center in Mosul, helping children recover from the wounds of war. In Colombia, they're providing relief to Venezuelan migrants seeking a new life there in Colombia and teaching the gospel. In South Sudan, they transformed lives of the blind with a cataract clinic, showing them Christ's love. Children's Heart Project. Foreign children come to us for surgery that's not available in their country where they live. Then there's Operation Heal Our Patriots in Alaska, taught by retired military chaplains, and these are for military couples. They spend a week there. Marriages have been rededicated, baptisms, and it's a great restoring time for couples. Samaritan's Purse sends a gift, Christmas gift catalog. That's one of my favorite things that they have. We have a good time at our November meeting. We check out and see how much extra money we've got. And then our different members go through the catalog and pick out different things to be a blessing. Some of the examples would be baby chicks, an operation on a cleft lip, a dairy goat, clean water for a village, and other useful items. The last one on the list that I made, that isn't all that they do, but I just gave you those things for an example because they're very far-reaching. Something happened? Oh, okay. Disaster relief. And that's here in the U.S., and we support that depending on what's going on. And Pastor Ron has been on a couple of the trips that this church has sent, and he has got information together and some pictures for you. So there you go, Ron.
I've grabbed some pictures from two. I've been on two trips with Samaritan's Purse. The first one was in 2005 from Hurricane Katrina. The second was in 2013 for Hurricane Sandy. But they're doing it almost nonstop around the U.S. and elsewhere after they have, and especially all the flooding and fires we've had this past year. So they work in a lot of communities to take care of things that don't get taken care of. You've all heard of FEMA. That's the government program that's supposed to help people after disasters. Well, government programs work at what speed? They're very slow. Samaritan's Purse works at high speed. So this is my first picture I'm showing you is from Hurricane Katrina. When I called in to say we'll bring a team down from New England, because there were actually three churches involved that went in our van to do support relief work. They had people on the ground as the hurricane was coming into the Gulf Coast. Samaritan's Purse has these tractor trailers all set up with equipment and gear and generators and radio towers, small bulldozers, dump trucks. They come in, they stage out of the danger zone. Then as soon as the storm's over, they have clearance by the federal government for this, by the way. They come in and cut their way into the disaster area, set up camp. They've already picked a spot ahead of time and go right to work. Their preparation and organization is like nothing I have seen outside of the military. It's just so amazing how they coordinate things. This is what an example of what we did. The flooding from Hurricane Katrina came in off the Gulf Coast and went into these neighborhoods that actually were fairly high up from the beach area. But the water, the storm surge came up, and so on the street we were on, all the houses were ranches except for one house, was a two-story house. As the water came up and the transformer shorted out and the power went off and they were in total darkness, they kept thinking it would stop. So you're in a one-story ranch, and let me see. That's. But all this debris is what we've taken out of a house. We're gutting houses because the water kept coming up and it went 8 feet. It went right to the ceiling. So in this street we're on, they all went to the second story of the one second-story house to wait out the storm, and there was no loss of life there. The only ones that could come in this area were National Guard, FEMA, and Samaritan's Purse, and the residents. Nobody else was allowed in. They had Army guard posts all the way around. We are here 2 months after the storm, 2 months afterwards. They had a lot of travel trailers in their yards that FEMA had provided, but there'd been nothing for getting their lives back together. So we had a magnetic sign on our church van that said Samaritan's Purse. I had paperwork to support that. And they designated me because they didn't know me as team leader. That was dumb. But anyway, they sent us in as a team. And I think you can see Pastor Wallace there. Is that you, Steve, sitting on the... Steve's sitting. Where's Steve? Steve's sitting. He did work. We worked hard. We got to figure it out. So we borrowed that cargo trailer was from Woolwich, Wiscasset Baptist Church. They had a team member go with us. And this is what we did. We went in. There's no basements in these houses. They're all built on cement slabs. We stripped them out, cleaned them out, piled it outside if there was anything salvageable. The campground we stayed at was actually a church campground retreat area, but that also had been hit by the storm surge. That's their church after the hurricane, what was left of it. But it was a pretty neat symbol. The cross is still standing, you know? Can't take that down. That's one of their relief trailers. They're actually... These trailers are built for NASCAR, so you can carry multiple cars in it, and they just load it with equipment, chainsaws, skid steers, all that stuff. There's their generator. They didn't need to here, but the next site, I'll show you how they set up for logistics. That's my friend Jerry. He just passed away. He was from Lisbon Falls Baptist and went with us. This couple out here, this is the house we worked on for them. When we finished doing our clean out of the property, the next thing we did is we had a Bible. All the team members signed the Bible. We surrounded them, laid hands on them, and we prayed for them. We didn't know what their background was. We didn't care what their background was. We were here. They would say, "Why are you doing this? You came from where? You drove down from Maine?" We said, "Because we love you. We want you to know that God loves you." Those were some of my most emotional spiritual experiences I've been through, is praying for these people. At one of the homes we worked at, the man obviously had an issue with alcohol, and of course they'd lost everything. So when we're done, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, which partners with Samaritan's Purse, they're separate organizations. They have chaplains on the ground that are trained, and they come in and meet with every family and say, "What do you need medically? What do you need physically? And we want to tell you about the God who loves you." And they share the gospel with them and give them a chance to come to Christ, which many of them do. It's pretty neat when people say, "Why are you here?" And we say, "We love you, and more than that, God loves you." It's very, very powerful. And there's the debris we haul out. And you can recognize probably there's only a couple of us still here in our church, which is too bad. But anyway, it was a nice group, nice mix together. That's off the side of one of their trucks. I'm going to transition now to Hurricane Sandy. Where did Hurricane Sandy hit? Here's a memory test. Long Island, New York. And it hit hard. So, and we're down here again, weeks, if not months after it happened. There was a lot of work to do. They'd hardly got started. You can see it's a little different weather. There's one of their trailers again in our church van. This is before we go out to work. We all gathered around and prayed together. And from the center we were at, the church again we were in had already been flooded by about a foot. So they'd ripped out all the carpeting. And they had so many volunteers coming in that they rotate and coordinate. The sanctuary was also a dormitory. They had people sleeping in the sanctuary. Our group got one classroom, and we were in like sardines in a classroom, which makes an interesting night. It really does. That was our team for this group here. There are two of them that were not part of our team. That's the house we're working on for them. And again, the water came 5 or 6 feet into the house. And we're quite a ways from the beach when that storm surge came in. The guy wearing the Irish shirt, if I remember correctly, was a town cop. And he was on duty the night of the hurricane. And we said, "How on earth did you do it?" He said, "I came on duty that night just as the storm's hitting. My sergeant in charge said, 'You see the 10-wheeler dump truck outside?' He said, 'Yeah, that's your patrol car for the night. There's a driver driving you around in the truck because they'll be looting when the power goes out and there'll be problems.'" And he said, "Sure enough, we're driving this wheeler truck in 4 feet of water and trying to help people to get to safe places with a dump truck." That's not where the guy wanted his boat, okay? Ecstasy is a good name for it, though, you know? This damage didn't go all the way to the ceiling, so we're able to bag a lot of it. It's insulation and household materials. But it's just, it was a big mess. Oops, we made the loop back. So I have not gone on one for a number of years. I can tell you this much. If you go, it'll be a life-changing experience. But you need to know a couple of things. They feed you well, but you will work hard for it. It is physical labor. It's all day long physical labor. You've got to be able to work with your hands. You've got to be able to get along with people. And then you will build a camaraderie with your team because they assign people from other places. We had a couple guys when we were at Hurricane Katrina, I think, that had flown down from Alaska, and they didn't have a team, so they assigned us because we had a van. So you build a team, you do the stuff. There'll be many more chances ahead. I may not be the one who coordinates it anymore, but there'll be more. Everywhere there's floods, famine, tornadoes, hurricanes, Samaritan's Purse goes in and does their thing. Any questions on their relief side? Because Wallace and Steve are two that are here that have done this with me. I think that's all that are here right now. Anything you guys want to add? We good? Okay. Who's next?
Okay.
CareNet, a very worthwhile organization, is, well, she's lost out there looking for us, apparently. And so I thought, and I don't know if, Don, you have the ability to put this on the screen. It is scripture. I want to read from Romans chapter 8, excuse me, New Living Translation, because I don't believe in just killing time. I do want to buy a little time for CareNet to arrive. Those little baby bottles you see out there, that's CareNet. And I don't want to stand here and start telling you all about CareNet and steal her thunder when she gets here. What is her name, by the way?
Mary.
Mary. And Mary is, any idea how far away she is?
I don't know where she is.
Okay.
Katie found out that she had contacted her and gone to the wrong church.
Okay. Romans chapter 8 from the New Living Translation, if that is possible. The entire chapter, actually. This is often called the greatest chapter in the Bible. And I'm reading it from the New Living Translation for the same reason I often read from the New Living Translation, which is simply because they do a lot of interpretation. It's almost to the point of, shall we say, a paraphrase. It is actually a translation, a dynamically equivalent translation, modern English. So it's very, very understandable. So you don't have to read with me, but you can follow along. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Thank you, by the way, Don. Isn't that a relief? And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have, and in that body God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Don't you just love this? The power of the Word of God. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Let me repeat that. I am in Christ. I also know what it is like to struggle with sinful nature, as you do. So let me repeat that. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. I hope I'm not losing you on that. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be rescued from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. Remember, the resurrected Christ gives you indication of what that new body is going to be like. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. You ever know that you need to pray, but you don't really know what to say? That has never stopped me from blathering on endlessly at times. Unfortunately, some of you have suffered under that. But the truth is right there. God knows what's in your spirit, and he will help you pray. So pray, even if you don't know what to pray. Pray anyway. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I'm going to repeat this one. For anyone who wants to read along, I want to repeat this verse. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Remember that verse, Romans 8:28. Verse 29, for God knew his people in advance. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That does not mean that Christ once upon a time didn't exist. He came into human form and was born in human form to be our Savior, so that as fully God, fully man, he could die on the cross and rise from the grave for us. He died, he was buried, he rose again, and he now sits at the right hand of God interceding for us as our high priest. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. There's so much in there. There is so much in there. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Do you understand that? Can you grasp that? Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can you picture that? Can you picture it? High on the horizon, Christ is at the right hand of the Father, pleading for us, you and me, in prayer. Now, this very moment, do you grasp that? Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? That's a rhetorical question, by the way. As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Here in America, we don't see that. Around the world, it's happening every single day. Did you know that? It's happening every single day. You want to see it, sometimes in full color? Well, you can. I'm forgetting the name of the ministry now. I was just looking at their... Pardon? Voice of the Martyrs, thank you. Yes, my dented head sometimes has a little trouble putting it all together. As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced, oh, I love this verse. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even, whoops, accidentally went too far. There we go. Neither death, nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's have another one with feeling.
Amen.
All right, thank you. And just because we do things in threes around here, one more time. Amen.
Amen.
And the final verse for this morning. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you are in Christ, nothing can separate us. So I'm going to close with this. I still don't see our care net lady, so I think we have to assume she's not going to make it this morning. But I hope that this scripture really spoke to you like it speaks to me. So I would like you to read this last verse with me out loud. And then unless CareNet person bursts in through the door, we will close. And I thank you all for being here. But let's read this together and then I'll close in prayer. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. Father, I thank you for the ministries that we have the good fortune of supporting. We thank you for the CareNet ministry that plays such a vital role in saving lives. We thank you for LACO, Lisbon Area Christian Outreach, our local nearby brothers and sisters in Christ, who diligently, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, work so hard to make sure that people are not going hungry and sharing with them not just food, but clothing and Bibles and prayers and love. And Father, I ask for your blessing upon them, upon CareNet, and upon Samaritan's Purse, which is a huge and famous ministry. Father, and we ask for your blessing upon us. Father, we cannot earn your blessing in a manner of speaking. In some manner of speaking, your word says that we can actually earn your blessing by following your laws, by following your commandments. There are blessings that you've promised us. And sometimes, even when it's not promised, as in Proverbs, you give us wisdom through your word in how to live good and godly, productive lives. And even though they're not all promises, it's a great and wonderful guideline for how to live our lives, to think and speak and act wisely. And Father, we are very, very grateful for that. Lord, I also thank you for this worship team that puts in all this extra time in picking out the songs and learning new songs and practicing and so forth and so on. I pray that you bless them greatly. Bless each and every one of us, Father, we ask in this, that you help us to think and to speak and to act in every way that pleases you. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.